From the Newstalk STL studios in St. Louis, it's the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. On tonight's episode, national radio host for Salem, Julie Hartman, and then a college survival guide for conservative students and parents with Christine Spazzato, and the Right Mind studio band, Mitch Murphy and the Murphy Tones. Now, putting the fun in your dysfunctional world, here's your host, Todd Showalter.
Oh boy, Christmas is on the way, Joey. Are you excited? I'm excited. Did you get all your gifts bought yet?
My family is going real cheap this year for some reason. I don't know if inflation made them all poor, but they decided to go the gift exchange swap, Yankee swap, white elephant thing where nobody knows the rules, but everyone knows the rules. Have you tried this before?
Yeah.
Everyone brings one gift, and it's wrapped, and then it's supposed to be a surprise, but every family plays with a different set of rules, and it just erupts in arguments as soon as you even get the game started.
Oh, that is a problem, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I told you what I do. I mean, I basically just...
Paperclips?
You know, well, no, paperclips and batteries, sometimes also used. And I was also talking to Michelle out front. I said, you know, also gift cards, but I like to try them out first. Mm-hmm. You know, that way, you know, sure, part of it's gone, but I let them know in advance that, yes, I have tried this, and it works, and I don't know how much is left, but here, you can have the rest of it. So that's what I like to do.
I actually went to a wedding once for a work friend, so kind of an acquaintance. I didn't know him that well. He invited me to his wedding. So
did you crash it?
I went to eat the free dinner, but you have to bring a gift in exchange. You can't just go eat food. You got to bring a gift. So I gave him a Best Buy gift card that I had already used. It was like a $100 gift card, but I used $49 of it already.
Exactly.
So he got $51. That's better than a $50 gift card, even though it said $100 in the corner.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. I said, here, go and get yourself, you know, 1/4 of an Xbox or something.
Well,
get yourself something nice that the wife will like.
It is the thought that counts. That's what I say. But speaking of me, I don't want to talk about me anymore. You know why? Because I've got big news. Adam Landy not only flunked out of school, he is in studio today, but guess where he just came from? He got a massage.
I hope it was a medically prescribed massage. Tell us the facts, Andy.
Yeah, what's the deal? Because this is how you approach. He said, I may be a little late. You know, I will be in, but I'm getting a massage first.
Wait a minute.
He was relaxed before he came in. Now this grilling. This third degree.
Well, I thought this was a judgment-free zone.
No, it is not a judgment-free zone.
Oh, I came to the wrong place.
Absolutely not. Was this massage now over on the east side, one of those massages?
I can neither confirm nor deny any statements nor allegations brought forth against
me
at this time.
Because you smell. You have that, you know, they say in Sauget, you know you're there when you smell the air. You kind of have that smell. Is that where you've been over to?
That metallic massage smell everyone loves.
I know, metallic massage smell.
That was the glitter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, you smell like rosemary and thyme.
You went and got a massage before the show. Is that something you feel like you have to do? I can't go on the show until I'm relaxed.
Yeah, I mean, you get me so tense.
Wait a minute.
Worked up and stressed out.
I thought he was going in another direction.
You never let him finish.
I never let him
finish. But the massage.
Ever.
Please finish.
I'm sorry. I'll be quiet for 2 seconds.
No, you won't.
Yes, well,
try. See, there it is. What did I tell you? I got a Swedish massage.
A what?
Swedish.
Swedish?
Yeah.
I do that accent too, Joey.
Yeah.
I could do, you know, you missed it because I've been doing my Sean Connery. Am I talking too much again?
How much time do we have on this show? Because I'm wondering if...
You got a massage, didn't you? Yes, we did. This is Swedish fun. Look, I'm going to rub him down. Was that what it was like?
Help.
Wow, Swedish.
Well, in the military, there's a lot of hoofing it or rucking, as we call it.
Yes.
I'm sure he's got a sore back from all the hoofing it he had to do.
Man.
So you were hoofing
back
it to get a massage. Okay. Now, don't you tell us a Swedish massage?
Yeah.
Is that what she was like? Is that how she talked to you?
No.
Oh. What made it Swedish?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
On the option list, you know, you pick a Thai or Swedish.
So
or
you can pick different countries?
Sure.
Can you get a Canadian massage? Because I bet you that's a good one. I bet you that one comes
with
bacon.
They just fell a tree right on your back.
Right.
I imagine
you could, eh?
It's such a joy to have you back in studio. And even though you are a college flunk out, I mean, that's okay. I mean, do you feel any different about yourself now?
I do. I feel all the hate and discontent coming from the studio today.
No. It's no hate and it. No, we love you here, Adam and Andy. We
hurtful.
Do. I'm just glad that you, you dropped out or flunked out, whatever you did, before you started protesting like all these crazy kids are doing now.
Right.
Like protesting like terrorists. Now, were you didn't feel like, you know, the need to do that, did you?
No.
It was online.
It was online
university.
It was an online
may have not been accredited, and so he has to find a new school. Right. I pay attention to Andy's story.
Thank you.
Well, I apparently talk too much, and so I guess I don't listen well. Okay, let's talk to Joey now. Joey, can I interrupt you a little bit?
I'll love it.
Wow. What have you been up to this week? Anything exciting?
Well, yesterday, no,
okay,
not yesterday.
That's good. So anyway, I'm kidding. I'm good. Go ahead. Go ahead, Joey. That was one of the jokes I had planned.
No, that was a good joke. I love that. Well, the Golden Globes came out, the nominations came out, and you weren't nominated once again. So I don't know why you make the films that no one sees. You got to start making ones that people see.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, I know I was not nominated, but I'm in the process of making a film about massage. Okay, but now what I'm going to do, it's going to be a Swedish film, and so it's going to be Swedish massage film. So I guarantee you next year I will be up there.
Now, I've actually followed your social media, and you were making a film about a cat, an animated cat. You're in production on something like that.
Animated.
Does this cat give massages? Because that's going to hurt like heck.
It's called, actually, yes. It's a series. It's a series called The Magic of Shurkan. Okay. Evelyn, I was supposed to give her like a shout out like weeks ago.
But, hey, Evelyn.
Hi, Evelyn. How you doing? She's actually the writer, okay? And she came up with the idea, and so we're animating it. But here's the thing. Yeah, it is not, it does not have any massage.
Making biscuits. Cats love
making
biscuits.
Yeah, they do that little paw thing on you. Yeah, but it's like a magical cat, and it's really going to be quite good. I mean, so we're pretty excited about the whole thing.
He wrote that on the top of the script. Will be good, double underline.
I did, and also should be up for awards.
It will be up for awards.
And speaking of, I mean, our very own Vic Porcelli, he's in another production of our, you know, he's in Tent City.
Mm-hmm. Tent City, that's dealing with the homeless population, by grabbing actors who are currently out of work and homeless and giving them jobs.
We put them to work. It's a comedy about homeless people. And what could be funnier?
Made for and starring homeless actors.
We may have them poop in the street because I think you can do that in St. Louis now.
Well, they brought their own tents, so you got that as a benefit.
Oh, they do. That is right. Well, that was part of the, you know, they had to.
Right.
That was part of it because it wasn't, well, I get, because all the other actors were on strike and I thought we could get away with anything we wanted. So we said, bring your own stuff. So that worked. I'm excited about the holidays, though. I mean, because this year, I mean, guess what we're doing? Oh, I didn't tell you, did I? Everybody is coming over to our place on Christmas Eve, and they're going to spend the night. We're all getting together beforehand at my parents' house, okay? They don't know that yet. But then everybody's coming to our place, spending the night, and then we're going to get up, and we're going to have our pajamas on, okay? And we're all going to open presents that we all determined earlier what they are because we got hit with a bill of what everybody wanted because it's like a, you know, $50 buy-in.
You send the Amazon wish list to somebody, it actually notifies you when that thing gets purchased. That's the best way to do Christmas, where you already know, all right, I don't have to stress out. I know what I'm getting from mom this year.
Well, they don't deliver half the stuff in the packaging anymore. I mean, I actually did buy some things on Amazon because I support small businesses. Well, I guess that's the opposite. I guess I got that backwards. But anyway, the stuff shows up. And it's not in packaging anymore. So I was like, oh, you got me socks again. How did you know? Well, it's just sitting there on the porch. I couldn't believe it.
My favorite thing is pictures of feet. So that's the only reason I
pictures
even shop from
feet.
Amazon. Because if you order the right thing, the delivery person will put a little foot right in the picture on your front stoop.
Oh, yes.
And they send that to you.
Like, that's right.
A special request next time. Just a little more ankle.
I'm learning new things about you.
You know what's really got me kind of... Oh, I can't use that word. Miffed. I'll just use that word.
Flux amongst
has got me. Is I'm going into the, especially some of these, grocery stores that already are charging way too much. I don't want to hear about this Bidenomics stuff. They're just charging too much. And then they always say, would you like to round up? Okay. You know what I'm talking about? Which I'm all for doing. Why doesn't the store just round it up on their own? We're already paying them. So we're basically doing their charity work so they can write it off, but we're paying the bill. Why don't they just do it?
I've had to do that as a cashier at a bookstore where they made us make money for charity. But if you break down the fractional how much I made an hour, we should have just donated that money and not bothered people. And the time they're taking to write your name on a piece of paper.
They don't do that.
And then they tape that to the wall. That's what we had to do. Whenever you donated 12 cents, we took the time to write your name down. Wasted 5 minutes of everyone's time doing this charity work for 2 cents a rounding up.
Yes. So you get the point.
I'm on your side.
Thank you. You know what? What's the shortest job that you ever had? Because mine was 2 seconds.
2 seconds.
Yes.
There's one where I never even got the call back. I went to training to work at a bowling alley, and they're like, okay, you're hired. That took an hour. And then they just never told me when my first day was. So I got a check for whatever, $12 in the mail, but they never told me when to start. So I was like, all right, I guess I got fired.
Wow. That's a sad story. Well, mine was 2 seconds. I should have. It was like, remember Sharper Image?
Mm-hmm.
They had some store, okay? I think it was like 19 or so. I don't know. But it was like a knockoff, a Sharper Image. And I was supposed to just stand. I show up the first day, okay, after my Orange Julius, because, you know, you have to get Orange Julius at the mall. That's what everybody does. And I show up my very first day. And I'm just supposed to. I was like a Walmart greeter. You're going to stand out here. And I think it was so people don't steal stuff. But I knew that I was going to be bored out of my mind. And so I said, it's very first day, I meet the manager. I say, can I run to the restroom first? And they said, absolutely. We don't have one in the store, but if you go down the hall, that's where it's at. And so I went down to the bathroom, and I never came back. I never came back because I knew I wasn't going to like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't tell my story. I have my shortest job.
Go ahead.
As a lifelong military man, I can't even imagine you with a regular normie job.
Yeah, you actually had another job.
So I got out for a very brief time.
Right.
Back in 94.
Okay.
And I worked at Dierbergs for a total of 2 hours.
Really?
Yep.
Got caught in the plastic bag.
Wow. No, what had happened was a buddy of mine had taken leave and flown in and told me about a new program in the military. He says, you're coming back in. I'm like, no, I'm not. He goes, yes, you are.
They're pulling me back.
Talked me into it, and I left right then because he came into the store when I was working.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'm out.
Oh, okay.
I would appreciate that. He's looking out for you, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so they came and they found you. The military came and found you, kind of like the Scientologists found me, but that's a whole other story. I'll tell another time. They found me. Oh, I'm not even going to go into that. Well, in the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V and the Admiral. Admiral Andy is in the house with Mitch in the background. We will be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, national host for Salem, Julie Hartman, on how she turned out to be a smart, conservative woman, despite attending Harvard.
Hey, it's Todd Showalter from The Right Mind Show, and we've got breaking news. For the holidays, liberaljoke.com is open for business. What is it? Well, it's got all the things that you're not going to find in the store, and they're kind of offensive. And guess what? Joey V is our new store manager.
When you buy one item from liberaljoke.com, a Joey V in need gets one free. Please help the community, give back, buy something from liberaljoke.com. A Joey V really needs your help today.
And please do. His eyes are bulging out of his head as he says that. He really looks pathetic. So I've got a liberaljoke.com. That's liberaljoke.com. There's funny t-shirts, mugs, you name it. Again, stuff you're not going to find in the stores because it's too offensive. And wear one so you can be canceled. And by the way, if you are canceled, there is a cancel this t-shirt at liberaljoke.com where you can say hi to Joey, who's now the store manager.
Thanks for not shoplifting. Goodbye. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man so brave he received a Purple Heart after fighting in the war on Christmas. Don't worry, he fought for the North. Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V. And Admiral Andy is in the house today. And now on the line with me is a friend of mine from Salem, Julie Hartman. How's it going, Julie?
Todd, it's going great. How are you doing?
Well, it's going really great, especially now that I'm talking to you, because we're working on a bunch of different stuff before. But now, I mean, having you here on the line on the radio here in St. Louis, where we're dodging bullets, is a super thrill. So what have you been up to?
Well, I've just been preparing shows, really, on my show Timeless with Julie Hartman, which everyone should check out.
I know.
And I also have a show with Dennis Prager called Dennis and Julie. And, you know, I did a show earlier this week on the Harvard testimony and the UPenn and MIT testimony, which I'm sure you have a lot to say about, Todd.
Absolutely, because you're a graduate of Harvard, so I especially wanted to hear what your thoughts were.
Yes, I am a graduate. I graduated about a year and a half ago, but you know what's funny? Whenever I say that I went to Harvard, I feel a little bit like it's not the... it's not a fully honest statement because although I have a degree from Harvard, I only was at Harvard for 2 years.
Oh, really?
Because of the COVID lockdowns. Oh. Yeah. I was only there on campus for the full freshman year and then the full senior year. And in between, I had half of my sophomore year, but the entire junior year was lost due to COVID. So when I say I went to Harvard, I'm like, did I really? I went there for 2 years, but not the full 4 years. Anyway. That's just to say I have a lot of thoughts on this, but look, what these presidents said in front of Congress may have been right as far as the First Amendment, that saying despicable things does require context, but they were acting like the First Amendment is their standard on these campuses, which it is not. They have speech codes on these campuses. And so I think we saw their hypocrisy, because if they are going to punish people for misgendering someone, if they say that constitutes bullying and harassment under their speech codes, then they better damn say that chanting Intifada also constitutes bullying and harassment.
Oh, yeah, and the hypocrisy is just across the board. I mean, and then going back to the First Amendment that you were just mentioning, I mean, I kind of equated it to the whole yelling fire in a cinema type thing. I mean, if you're going to cause, I mean, anything that just seems, there's certain extremes that you can go to, and I certainly think that is one of them. And to think that this day and age, that just the utter stupidity that anyone would think that this is normal or acceptable is beyond me. I mean, and now you've got people like donors that are saying, well, we're not going to donate to any university or establishment is going to do something like that. Now, I mean, as an alumni, I mean, have you talked to other people that are just saying, hey, obviously it's embarrassing, but I mean, I don't know from a donation standpoint, but I mean, do you think it's going to really hurt them where it counts?
Well, I have been talking with a lot of fellow alums, and there are a lot of us who are just very sad about what is going on. You know, I want to make something clear because I am a harsh critic of higher education. And I gave a speech when I was a senior at Harvard denouncing anti-Americanism, which I really encourage people to check out. It's on YouTube. I've, you know, talked about it a lot on my show, obviously condemned Claudine Gay for the way that she handled that testimony. But there are a lot of good people on these college campuses. I mean, I made friends there that will be my friends for life. And I had experiences and opportunities, including, ironically, the opportunity to go to Israel when I was a senior at Harvard through the Hillel, that I will always, always be grateful to that school for. So I just wanted to make that clear to people that there are good people on these campuses. And yes, I've been talking with many of them, my fellow alums, and I'm on a free speech advisory board at Harvard trying to, you know, hold them to account for allowing freedom of expression. A lot of my friends are getting more involved. So even though I tend to err on the side of pessimism, I do have a bit of optimism that people are waking up and trying to turn the tide.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, too, I mean, again, going back to just how could this even be happening in this day and age? We have a guest on the right. Show occasionally, Jim. He's a professor out in California. And he brought up on an earlier show that one of the problems that we're dealing with is all of these so many foreign donations from Saudi Arabia, from China and things like that, that are basically buying our schools and indoctrinating everyone. I mean, isn't it time? And I don't know what extent that is on the Harvard campus or Penn or whatever, or the University of Pennsylvania. I mean, is it time that we just say enough of these, you know, foreign donations? Because it's a cancer to these kids' minds. And the fact that they're out there doing what they're doing, again, it's just beyond belief. I mean, do you think that's something we have to look into as far as saying enough of this foreign aid to our college campuses?
Oh, I think we absolutely need to look into to this funding. Truthfully, I don't know very much about how much foreign money Harvard gets, but yeah, definitely should be investigated. You know, another interesting thing, and I've talked about this on my show, is that this internationalization of the university has in a way facilitated some of this wokeism. And allow me to explain. And by the way, this is coming from someone who has many international friends from Harvard. One of my closest friends, in fact, is an international student. But over the past 3 to 4 decades, these colleges and universities have been taking a large number of people who are not American. And in fact, we award the highest number of Chinese student visas of any country in the world. About 382,000 Chinese students get visas to study here. We award that every year. But anyway, that's just to say that we have taken a lot of international students, and as a result, these universities have kind of gotten this idea that now that the student body is international, we shouldn't be teaching American values. We shouldn't be teaching, you know, the tenets of Western civilization, because that is intellectually imperialist to teach to an international student body the principles of our civilization when, you know, they may come from places that don't adhere to similar values. I think that is ridiculous. I think we absolutely should have international students. As I said, many of them are my friends. I think all kinds of students enrich the campus. But we need to remember that we are an American university, and we are a university that should be teaching American values and principles of Western civilization. And just because the student body may not be entirely American doesn't mean that we should throw that out the window.
No, and doesn't that defeat the point? I mean, if I go to Oxford or I go to a foreign school somewhere else in another country, I mean, I would expect to learn that culture. That would be one of the reasons I went. So, I mean, and again,
absolutely.
I just don't understand what people are thinking. It's like coming into my home and saying, well, you know, thanks for having me over, but we're going to change everything you're having for dinner, and I'm going to rearrange the furniture, and we're going to do everything I like to make it more like my home. And that's not why that's part of the education. I mean, when students study abroad, if you go to Spain or you go somewhere, I mean, you want to learn that. It means that, well, we're going to Americanize everything for you so you don't have to feel like you're away. I mean, what type of logic is, it just doesn't make sense to me, and none of it makes sense to me. And again, I think it comes back again to all these foreign dollars that are influencing the universities.
Yeah. Well, you know, I agree with you, but also a lot of this push is homegrown. A lot of this idea, for instance, that teaching American values to international students is intellectually imperialist, that is not something that the international students have largely said. That's come from, frankly, affluent white liberals who, mm-hmm. you know, run these institutions and donate to these institutions. So it's this weird kind of like self-flagellation that we are doing to our own country, whereas we should stand up and go, no, again, we want to have international students. It enriches our campus, but we are not going to sacrifice teaching American values. And you raised an excellent point. If you went to school in India, if you went to school in China, God forbid, I would never go there, especially under this climate. But come on, would any of us think twice if they required, you know, mandatory classes on Confucianism, for instance, or on communism? Of course we wouldn't, because we're going into their system. Why can't we do the same?
It's all backwards. It just makes absolutely no sense. And again, I mean, you go back even to all this woke stuff. I mean, this seems to like really have like taken off in the last 8 to 10 years. I mean, I don't remember too much of it a decade ago. Okay, like you mentioned, okay, you've got basically white. From my experience, middle-aged white liberals that feel that they have to promote all this stuff. And I know I have several friends of different ethnic backgrounds and things like that. And they're like, this is embarrassing. I remember like the whole Black Lives Matter things in St. Louis. There were certain communities where you had like all these, white moms, 40s, 50-year-olds, you know, protesting for like the black community when they were like, what is this about? We don't need you out here doing that. It's embarrassing. You don't think we can do this for ourselves if we wanted to? So that seems to be the mentality. And where did this all come from? I mean, what breeds this type of thing? Because a lot of it, like you said, it's not actually the actual people that are members of that group. I mean, it's outside people that feel that they're entitled or they need to, you know, do what they need to stand up for other groups when half the time they don't want them to.
Right. You know, I ask this question all the time, where did this wokeism come from? And there are so many answers to that question. I mean, one of the things I do on my show, Timeless, Todd, is that I look at different thinkers, different philosophers that have influenced our realm of thought. For instance, Rousseau, who was a Genevan philosopher like 300 years ago, he made the argument that we're born perfect in our state of nature, but it's society that corrupts us and causes us to be bad people. And that is the direct, you know, whole idea that we're seeing today of, oh, you know, you're poverty causes someone to commit crime, not someone's bad values. Anyway, that's just to say I explore this from a lot of different angles. I do economic, philosophical, all these different kinds of ways of looking at it. But here's the number one thing that I have concluded as far as the origins of this wokeism. We as a society have gotten so prosperous and so affluent that we have the leisure time to come up with this crazy stuff. Okay. Seriously, it is bored. I think a lot of it is boredom. And I think a lot of it is that we have gotten to such a great place that they're turning their attention to these crazy things. Like let's look at, you know, let me give this example. Do you think women in Iran who are literally killed in the case of Mahsa Amini for not wearing their hijab properly, do you think they know the term mansplaining? Of course they don't. It's ridiculous. Only rich white American liberals have the leisure time to come up with that term. Okay, your life is pretty damn good if you think your biggest problem is mansplaining.
Right, yeah.
So it just shows that we've gotten bored and we've gotten, ironically, to such a prosperous state that we start contriving these issues, which is the basis of wokeism. Wokeism is contrived issues.
Well, and why don't we just say no? I mean, I equate it again to, I've said on earlier shows, rather, it's like the screaming two-year-old in the shopping mall. You give it a toy, or him a toy, or her a toy, rather, not it. But, you know, what do? They start screaming again because they want another toy. But until you start telling these spoiled brats no, I mean, they're going to keep doing it. So what's it going to take for people with any common sense just to say, we're not going to do this anymore?
I mean, here's the thing. We need to educate people about how good it is in America. I mean, again, I kind of go back and forth about this. I don't know if people are aware of how privileged we are and they nevertheless still try to tear our country down, or if they truly don't know. But one of the things, you know, people ask me all the time this question that you just asked, like, what is it going to take to wake people up, and especially young people? And the answer that I give is we need to educate people about what it's like to live in other countries. I just brought up Iran. Women are treated brutally in Iran. They, as I said, you get killed for not wearing your hijab properly. In Iran, there is a statute which says that if you are a woman who alleges that you are raped, you need 4 male Muslim witnesses to corroborate your story in court. Mm-hmm. That is barbaric medieval stuff. And this is the case in much of the world. There are horrible misogynistic laws all over the Middle East. There are horrible homophobic laws in many of the countries in the continent of Africa. Half of Africa's 54 countries criminalize homosexuality. In fact, in some of the countries, they punish it with the death penalty. Obviously, there are daily human rights abuses in places like China and Russia. And so we've got to wake people up to this glorious, magnificent, imperfect system that we have created in the United States, because people have no idea when they are tearing this system down how good we have it compared to the rest of the world.
Yeah, and that's very interesting. It's also very ironic, don't you think? You've got especially a lot of these college kids that are ignorant to just how well they have it when they think they're so educated going to these higher universities. Well, before we wrap up with you, I would like to talk a little bit about your show, Timeless. Now, I love the concept because, you know, you look at Timeless, you know, from a conservative standpoint, things that have withstood the test of time. How can people watch it, and how can they listen to it? Where's it all available? Where is it available?
So you can go to the Julie Hartman YouTube channel, and there you'll catch my show Timeless and my show with Dennis Prager called Dennis and Julie. And you can also listen to it on Apple and Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. And yes, Todd, the reason why I called my show Timeless is because I believe that conservative values are timeless. 5,000 years of human history of civilization has produced some conclusions. And I think those are timeless, eternal truths that all of us need to really go back to. So anything that I talk about, I try to approach it from the perspective of applying timeless eternal wisdom to the more timely issues of the day. So I hope everyone listening checks it out, and yeah, they'll also be seeing some cool stuff created by you, Todd, on Timeless.
Well, hey, it's great to work with you. We have a lot of fun doing different projects and stuff like that. But let me ask you this, because you've got such a – you're so level-headed. You're educated. What do you think – and you're obviously younger. How did you turn – I don't want to use the word normal, but how did you become how you are? Why do you think some people don't? I mean, what was the difference from you growing up that you think that – what's the major difference in you becoming who you are?
So interesting you asked this question. I was on an Australian news show and they asked me the same thing yesterday and it kind of stumped me. But the thing that I come back to is I am very hard on myself. I always think I'm not doing things right, or I'm not working hard enough, or I'm not eloquent enough. In other words, I'm very, very hard on myself all the time. But there's one thing I will give myself credit for. And that is that for my whole life, I have been open to hearing the other side. And I have had a curiosity about the way that other people think, even if I vehemently disagree with them. And I think that was the key ingredient that allowed me to shift from left to right. Because Todd, when I entered Harvard, I was a liberal. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a radical liberal, but I was definitely not conservative. But really, it all happened when I was a sophomore, when we were sent home due to the COVID lockdowns, when the Black Lives Matter riots were convulsing throughout our cities. And I said, you know what? I'm going to listen to what conservatives have to say about this, because if this is the left, this is not who I am. And that willingness to consider another perspective was what made me seek that out and ultimately become convinced by it. So I would just say that it is really important when raising kids, and my parents raised this with, when they were raising me, inculcated this in me, to always, always be open to what other people have to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a logical common sense, and it's a shame that common sense and logic is almost shunned now. So, well, I'm glad you turned out the way you did, Julie. So, thanks.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you for having me. It's been so fun.
Oh, it's been a blast, and I'll try to wrap up my work here on the radio so I can get back to work on our stuff, okay?
Sounds good. I look forward to it, Todd.
Thank you, Julie. Okay, well, when we come back, we've got a lot of fun and mayhem on the way. We've got Mitch Murphy and the Murphatones with his special. Is he going to do anything special? Did you hear if he's got anything prepared for us?
Last week, he was shaking a bag of cats, and that kind of sounded like Jingle Bells. So I don't know if he's got different animals, but I bet it'll be Scottish in nature.
Well, I hope it's Swedish, because, you know, I mean, otherwise, you know, it's not going to be Andy's forte, correct?
It'll be off-brand.
Yeah, well, at least we're not going to have to build something, because if you did have to build something, you know who you'd have to call, don't you?
Rick Bernstein.
We would have to call Rick Bernstein at the Bernstein Remodelers, because say they wanted to build a massage parlor that Andy could go to, but they wanted to do a little bit of a remodeling of the massage parlor. What they would do, they would call Rick at the Bernstein Remodelers.
You got a table with no hole for your
face?
That's
right. Or what if they had to move a wall? If they had to move a wall or something like that?
More privacy? Know,
that's what they do at the Bernstein Remodelers. And not only that, they fix things. They handle electric. They handle plumbing. As I just said, they'll even relocate walls. So do a deck. Anybody need a deck for the holidays? You know, have your neighbors and your friends and family out there on the deck freezing to death? Well, if you did want to, you could call Rick at the Bernstein Remodelers. They have a full staff of well-trained employees that he personally takes care of. And also, what are they?
Very polite.
They're very polite, and they work all over the St. Louis metro area. So if you're listening to this in St. Louis, you should call them right now. That's Rick at the Bernstein Remodelers, 314-324-3024. Call Rick at the Bernstein Remodelers at 314-324-3024. When we come back, more fun on the way. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V and the Admiral in the house. This is The Right Mind Show. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Christine Spezzato on getting conservative parents ready before sending their kids off to college. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who looks dashing both in and out of a one-horse open sleigh, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with Joey V and the Admirals in the house here across from me. And on the line now is Christine Spezzato, who has written a book, Student Voices Silenced. And you're going to help conservative parents help their liberal kids in school, aren't you? How's it going, Christine?
It's going great today. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, I really appreciate it. Now, you've got an interesting book that you've put together, you've written, and it's basically a guide to help conservative parents deal with these liberal colleges that our kids are getting indoctrinated by. Is that pretty much the gist of it?
That is the gist of it. I tell behind-the-scenes stories that were first person for me, but I also interviewed dozens of students, professors, parents, and I have their stories also that really give insight into what it's like for these students or faculty or anyone affiliated with these universities, what it's like to have to deal with their progressive mindset, their indoctrination. So I started writing it with a lot of facts and figures, because when I started writing it even a year ago, this wasn't a conversation that people were having. You had to convince people that universities were off the rails. And halfway through, I thought, you know, this really isn't what I want to say. I want to touch people's heart. I want parents to hear what it's like for these kids on campuses when they're feeling so isolated and they have no advocates there, and what they go through trying to navigate this. So I turned a corner, and the focus of my book then became more, here's what it's like, and here's what parents can do to support their kids and prepare them.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I actually I have two kids. I have one of my son, my one son's in school right now in college, and I got to tell you, I mean, it is not cheap to send a kid to school and to college anymore. And as a conservative parent, there were some schools where I pretty much said, look, I'm not going to waste my money to send you to that particular school. Is that something that you've dealt with, or am I a horrible parent for thinking that?
No, you're a very smart parent. You know, I hear from parents still who reach out to me and say, I sent my child to college, and they came back for winter break, and I don't even know who they are anymore. We can't have a conversation without them criticizing me. Grandparents are saying these young kids aren't going to come for Christmas this year because I'm too conservative and old-fashioned. They won't even speak to me. It's heartbreaking what's been happening to families. And my eyes were opened when I was sitting in a meeting with, you know, upper level administrators, and they were just really speaking disparagingly about conservatives and how they're idiots and they're stupid and they're ignorant. And I sat there and thought, these are the people that are paying the tuition that pays your salary.
Right.
And this is what little respect you have for the parents of your students that you're here supposedly to support, to advocate for, to educate. It's really bad. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, and I think going back decades, whatnot, you always had, you know, kids in college who were finding themselves, and they'd be a little out there,
sure,
in your liberal. But now, yeah, you didn't have, you know, students, you know, protesting in favor of terrorists and things like that, where, I mean, it just seems to be so radicalized now. And
yes,
we were talking to a guest earlier about how, you know, a lot of the schools are being funded by these outside, whether it's Saudi Arabia, whether it's China, things like that, mm-hmm, where they're basically there. That's where the money's coming from. And they are,
yes,
indoctrinating the children, uh-huh, the kids. And I'll call them children because they are, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But, you know, it's different now. It's not like one of those things like it was 10, 20, whatever years ago. I mean, now you're basically, again, you're protesting terrorists. I mean, where did we, aside from all this money, did you see a tipping point?
Well, I saw the change of the, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, politically correct wave starting about 2006. Mm-hmm. It started, and then it just continued after that. But also what I saw, and I write about this in the book, that follow the money. The trends in higher education chase the money. And whether it's foreign money, federal money, offices would be developed, you know, the office of blah, 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 because this is going to be the new place that we're going to get money. And the universities are bloated. They spend money like it's monopoly money. And it became just very difficult to have, you know, integrity in that kind of a system. For example, there was a few years that all of a sudden China, for some reason, was just sending, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens, hundreds of students to our universities. And so the recruitment department, admissions, started hiring all of these new admissions counselors to travel to China to meet with parents, university administrators, just to try and attract these students to our campus and to our university. And we spent a lot of money on that to get those students over here. And then when President Trump was in office, then all of a sudden the whole situation changed with visas and, you know, who is coming over here for education. And, you know, then that whole thing kind of dried up and those administrators were, you know, sent somewhere else to do something else or laid off.
Right.
So, yeah, follow the money. And whether it's dirty foreign money or our own federal money that is going to back some pet project that, you know, some politician has, that's what's happening on our campuses.
Yeah, and they're definitely playing the long game, as they say. I mean, our next generation that's in school right now. I mean, if you get a hold of those minds, then you have basically America out the window. Now, your book, how does it? I mean, what does it do? Again, it's called Student Voices Silenced. What are some of the things that you go through in your book to help the situation?
Well, again, I think first thing is to make everyone aware of how bad it really is. And then I'm a student development specialist. And so I really look at what's happening through the lens of student development and what are they learning and what are they supposed to be learning? Like you said, those years are years of exploration and they should be exploring, but, you know, not throwing the baby out of the bathwater. You know, I came to school with these values and all these people in this environment are telling me that I'm wrong. So I have to either comply or I have to get really quiet and not use my voice and go away. So I give a lot of information about the developmental process, what students should be normally learning and going through during this stage, how parents can support that, and then also kind of the dark side of how administrators are not supporting the normal process for students to really get to where they're going to be strong, successful, you know, solid citizens leaving college. And I'm speaking specifically about our traditional or conservative students. The other radicals are going to leave feeling great about themselves because they're going to change the world. But our traditional and conservative students are really pushed into a corner and they're really boxed out. And it's tragic. I knew students that left altogether. I saw students withdraw. They became depressed. They were isolated because everywhere they turn, whether it's in a classroom, whether it's in student housing, student organizations, everywhere they go, they're going to be confronted with these liberal ideals and philosophies. And I stress that parents need to have a strategy before they go to college, before they hit campus. Make a plan and have these resources ready for your student before they go. Because once they get there, it's a whirlwind. No matter what, every freshman that gets to campus is pretty much deer in the headlights, no matter what. So this is the best way that parents can support their kids. And in the book, I tell them the steps they can take and the things they can do. They're easy strategies.
That sounds fascinating. And again, where can people get a hold of the book?
It's on Amazon. I ranked Amazon number one bestseller shortly after it was released. Thank you. That was really exciting. And also, if they go to my website, they can download the first chapter of the book. I also have another resource, an ebook, and a video that they can watch on, you know, five easy tips, things you can do to support your student. So I have other resources on there as well, blogs.
Sure.
And the website is studentvoicessilence.com.
Okay.
So they can just go there and sign up and download the first chapter of the book. I encourage everyone to do that and just see how eye-opening that is.
And then
you'll want to read the rest.
No, I encourage everybody to also, because it's really amazing that we're even talking about this in this period of time. But unfortunately, yeah, we are. So I'm glad there are people like you that are out there trying to, you know, do the right thing and kind of save some of these kids, because a lot of, like you said, I actually know several students that are kids, rather, that started out that, and I'm not saying you have to be, you know, straight laced and, you know, wear a tie or anything. I mean, just having traditional family values that have been thrown out the window because now, I mean, that's all wrong. And it's sickening and it's sad, but well, I want to thank you for out there, you know, trying to help make a difference. So thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on. And if they have specific questions and want to connect with me, you can do that through the website too. Just message me on the website, and I'm happy to connect with anybody that has questions or comments or want to correspond.
Okay. And again, that the book is Student Voices Silenced, Christine Sposato. So I want to thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you'll come back sometime soon, I hope.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. I'd love to.
All right. Thank you very much. So on the line now is, well, actually, his name is Rick Trader. He started a new network, haven't you? The American Uncensored News Network. How's it going, Rick?
Todd, great. Things are going great. It's an honor and pleasure to be on your show and to meet you. And, you know, Todd, as far as I'm concerned, your reputation precedes this meeting.
Oh.
That I'm a fan of political cartoons.
Oh, well, that's
and
good.
You, buddy, are one of the best.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Well, we're definitely going to. Hey, Joey, don't edit that part out.
No, of course not.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
One of the many.
Can we just leave the segment on at that? I mean, I don't think we're going to top that. I'm kidding you. Now, tell me about your network, because it's really neat. I checked it out. It's AUN-TV.com, the American Uncensored News Network. And what you do, from what I understand, I mean, you let the First Amendment do what it's supposed to do. You don't censor anything. Can you tell us about it?
Well, that's correct, Todd. You know, our shows, our network is brought to you by the First Amendment, and it is protected by the Second. And we started the AUN network a couple of years ago to solve one of what I feel is the biggest issue facing America today. It's not necessarily Joe Biden. It's not necessarily Barack Obama or Gavin Newsom. But in our opinion, it is the corrupt media.
Mm-hmm.
That is the corrupt media that has infested America today. And what we've done with AUN TV, we are creating a broadcast television network to the right of Fox. Now, Todd, please don't laugh at me and say that's not very hard to do. But what we're doing is we are airing shows like The Stone Zone with Roger Stone, News You Can Act On with Brigitte Gabriel, Dinesis's podcast, The Joe Messina Show, More Money with Stephen Moore, James O'Keefe Media, Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, Colonel Alan West, Steadfast and Loyal, The American Political Zone, The Conservative Commando Show. So when you hear the titles of the programs we are running, it gives you an idea where we are politically.
Yeah.
And people say to me all the time, why don't you have any moderate shows, or why don't you have any liberal shows on there? It's very simple. We don't have to. They have their own platforms. They have their own networks. They have their own social media. What we conservatives need to do is get our side out there. And there's a reason for that, Todd. America, as we see it, America is broken up into three groups. You got the 20% on the left. Their mind's made up. You're not going to change it. You got the 20% on the right. Same thing. Their mind's made up. You're not going to change it. But that 60% in the middle, they're the groups we really need to reach with our message, with our story, with our side of things. Most of these people today are getting their news and information from NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, the mainstream social media like Facebook and Twitter and the like. We've got to give them an option, and we see the option as being the AUN TV network that they can come to us, and we'll give them our side of the story. Something they're not hearing today.
People can check out your network at AUN-TV.com. Is that the main place to find it out, or do you have content on other sources?
Well, we are a broadcast network. We broadcast on 11 TV stations.
Okay.
Right now, they're in Northern California and in Nevada, but our intention is expansion always in all ways. So what we have on the website is we have a link to our 24-hour day, 7-day a week live stream, and you can find it easy. Go on the website, AUN-TV.com. Right up there with the banner is a copy and paste link that can either get in that way or just below the banner to the right. There is a little button that they could click. That'll take us to our Rumble page and our 24-hour day, 7-day week live stream of all the shows that we air on the AUN network are right there. So great if you're in Northern California, great if you're in Reno and Carson City, but you can also, and that's one thing that we're trying to do with AUN TV. The experts are telling us that within the next 5 years, 50% of the people will not get their news and information over cable. People are cutting the cable. They're going to get their news and information one of two places, either broadcast TV, the old broadcast TV antennas outside your home, or streaming on the internet. And they're the two areas that we're focusing on right now, expanding our broadcast TV network and expanding our live streaming coverage. Now, before you go, Todd, I just want you to know, let me get this information out there to you. We are always looking for great shows that want to become part of the AUN network. And people say to me all the time, hey, Rick, this is a real shoestring operation. How'd you get Roger Stone and Dinesh D'Souza and James O'Keefe and Tony Perkins and Alan West and the like that? I tell them it was simple. When we tell them what we're doing here, what we're trying to achieve, they want to become part of us.
Okay.
And that's very important.
So how is this funded? Do you have advertisers?
Well, we do. We have some advertisers, but, you know, I say this all. This is a real shoestring operation, Todd. Mm-hmm. And we're able to do this because we don't have the fancy bells, gadgets, whistles that Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC has. We don't have multi-million-dollar studios that we do our production in. And that's one of the good things, in my opinion, that come out of the flu fraud. During the flu fraud, during the lockdown, everybody was broadcasting from their basement, from their bedroom, from their living room. And people accepted it. People accepted it. And that's what we say about AUN TV. Don't come to us for the fancy bells, whistles, or graphics. Come to us for the great content. So that's one of the ways we're able to do this at low cost. We don't try. You know, Todd, there are so many guys out there like a Roger Stone, like a Dinesh D'Souza, who are not associated with Fox, ABC, NBC, or whatever, but they want a platform that they can broadcast from. That's what AUND-TV does. Okay. We give people like that a forum.
Well, that's great. And again, I urge everybody to check it out. I applaud you for fighting the good fight, as I always say. And again, go check it out at AUN-TV.com. Rick, you got a lot of work ahead of you, but I wish you the best and I look forward to helping you out in the future.
Well, Todd, I appreciate that. And if I thought about the job that I had ahead of me, I probably wouldn't do it.
Well, that's okay.
But this country, Todd, this country, in my opinion, is worth fighting for.
Oh,
we've
totally
got to
agree.
Return it to the Judeo-Christian patriotic ethics our founding fathers created on.
I agree with you 100%.
That's what we need to do.
I totally agree with you. And, it's great to have you on board. And, again, I look forward to talking with you in the future. We'll catch up soon, okay, my friend?
Take care. God bless. Merry Christmas to you.
You too. Thank you very much. Well, it's kind of been a trend here on this show, hasn't it? We've been dealing about higher education, starting out with Andy, Admiral Andy, flunking out of school, all the way to, you know what, Andy? I'm proud of you now. Okay, I'm always proud of you. But the fact that you dropped out before you became a melon mind and just, we're in here trying to, for all I know, you could have become like some type of, horrible terrorist sympathizer. Isn't that right, Joey?
I feel bad for the terrorists. Oh, no, it's happening to me.
It happened to you. It's rubbing off. Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. Crazy. Wow. This show has just wiped me out. I think I need a massage. And if I were to get a massage, it would be a Swedish massage, right? Or, does that sound good?
Sure.
I don't know. Have you had fun? Has it been nice being back in the studio, Admiral Andy?
Yes and no.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Joey, a flip-flopper. We can't have that on a conservative station.
Can't do
that. You can't be changing horses
all right,
midstream.
Well, let me clarify then. It's always great to see Joey, but you're kind of on my list right now, pal.
I know. I get that a lot. But that's okay. It's kind of my thing, my shtick.
But
so
you got
to
the mullet, so that makes
mullet.
Up for it.
I do have the mullet. And you know what? As always, no product, all natural. Stop it. Joey's trying to rub it.
I heard back in the day that when you were in the 70s rock bands, wasn't invented yet.
Mousse.
So they would use shaving cream. And I heard this, and I tried it one day, and my scalp would not stop itching, and I smelled like a real man's man, but I did not like it. So I went back to my girlfriend's mousse.
Oh,
did you ever try anything weird like that with your hair?
I use mayonnaise and salad dressing.
That'll work.
Sometimes
a nice
I use
sheen.
But I like the light ranch. Not the fat-free, okay, but just like the light ranch.
It's mostly water when it's light.
Yeah, I kind of like rub it into my scalp.
Delicious.
And sometimes, during lunch, I may dip a carrot into my head. Isn't that fun? Mm-hmm. Well,
charcuterie.
Scrumptious. What the heck isn't a charcuterie basically a giant Lunchable?
I think so. Yeah,
I think it's I think a charcuterie, which I can finally pronounce. Okay, like Fluxamuxtin. I mean, I think it's a giant Lunchable, and I think somebody just came up with a trendy name so that they could sell it. It's like an estate sale and a garage sale. I don't know if I've explained this to you before, but an estate sale is just the same crap at a garage sale, but you can ask for more money because you call it an estate sale, and that's the same thing with charcuterie and a Lunchable.
He lost it. Yeah, Pinterest
lost it.
Pinterest wives, they see these charcuterie boards, and they're like, oh, that's cooking, right? And they dump out a jar of pickles on a piece of wood and like, look what I made.
That's what I do.
I don't think you made anything.
That's what I
think you spilt something.
That's what I'm doing for the station Christmas party. I'm dumping out some pickles onto a plate, and I'm saying, here, it's a charcuterie board.
I'll bring olives, and I'll put it on that same plate.
I'll put one on each finger, and I'll say, all right, eat up, everyone. Pop one in your mouth.
Oh, that'll be fun. I can't wait.
Edward Olive Hands.
Exactly. Well, I've had a good time. Alma the dog is over there being good. She hasn't done anything on the floor yet, I guess the day is still young. Well, I guess that'll do it for us until next time. And it is that holiday season, so hopefully Mitch will take us out with something festive. But he said he didn't get a contract extension, so he may not. In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter along with my buddy Joey V. And remember, like I always say, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. Because this is The Right Mind Show. Until next week, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. To find out about all things Todd, go to StudioTodd.com. We will see you next Saturday night at 5 p.m. right here on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL and always streaming online at NewsTalkSTL.com.
Hey, Hey, it's Todd Showalter from The Right Mind Show, and we've got breaking news. For the holidays, liberaljoke.com is open for business. What is it? Well, it's got all the things that you're not going to find in the store, and they're kind of offensive. And guess what? Joey V is our new store manager.
When you buy one item from liberaljoke.com, a Joey V in need gets one free. Please help the community, give back, buy something from liberaljoke.com. A Joey V really needs your help today.
And please do. His eyes are bulging out of his head as he says that. He really looks pathetic. So go to liberaljoke.com. That's liberaljoke.com. There's funny t-shirts, mugs, you name it. Again, stuff you're not going to find in the stores because it's too offensive. And wear one so you can be canceled. And by the way, if you are canceled, there is a cancel this t-shirt at liberaljoke.com where you can say hi to Joey, who's now the store manager.
Thanks for not shoplifting. Goodbye.